We open our Bibles and turn in the Word of God tonight to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. As far we read God's word tonight. Our text is found in verse 13 of this chapter. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. When a person makes confession of faith, a certain milestone has been reached in his or her life. He or she has received instruction in biblical and reformed doctrine, sometimes several times, having learned those doctrines, so that for believers, anyway, within the Church of Jesus Christ, there is a good working knowledge of the Scriptures. And when one has studied the Scriptures and gone through them, that becomes a milestone in their lives. But though a milestone, this point in a person's life is certainly not the end of learning. It's not the end of the journey that we take in instruction. In fact, it is, in a certain sense, only a beginning. One cannot begin to plumb the wonderful depths of the instruction and the knowledge that is given to us in the Word of God. And since our lives are to be dedicated and devoted to the service of God, then instruction in the Word of God for the believer is a necessity. Instruction is our life, and we must take hold of her and keep her and not let her go, Solomon says. By instruction, our feet are made sure in this life, and our ways in the world are made right. By instruction, we gain wisdom, a wisdom in the ways of our God. By instruction, we live, both now and will live forevermore. This same instruction is that which we ought to consider perhaps at this time of the year already. In about a month or so, we will begin to enjoy once again instruction, both in the catechism room as well as by means of Bible study as well. And during that time, we are able to be instructed in the Word of God. We have an opportunity also as parents of the church and of God's covenant to school our children and to give instruction also in the secular studies that they have before them, either by choosing a Christian school to which they can go or by instructing them ourselves. What kind of instruction, and we'll find that out tonight also in the words of our text, what kind of instruction in this regard is indeed of the essence? Will it be worldly, secular instruction? Instruction that is given to us by unbelief and by the wicked world? Or will it be sound, spiritual instruction that can be received in the home by means of homeschooling, but also in this Christian school? All these questions and more are addressed by the words of Solomon here in our text this evening. All of them deal with that instruction which is our life. All of them deal with our desire to hold fast such instruction and not let it go. So we consider tonight, instruction is your life. That's the heart of the passage that we have before us this evening. Instruction is your life. In the first place, we want to consider what Solomon means by that, the meaning of that. Secondly, the exhortation, hold it fast. And then finally, the reward, that is life itself. The meaning, the exhortation, and the reward. Implied in our text is a certain figure of speech. Figure of speech, if we've learned our English grammar and English language well enough, is known as personification. Instruction is personified and presented to you and me as an object or as a possession of precious value to the child of God, something that we must grasp hold of with our hands and hold it so firmly that we do not let it slip away from us. In fact, the word term instruction is spoken of in the feminine in our text, almost as if instruction were indeed a person who imparts to you and me life. Instruction imparts life. All of this is important to understand if we're going to understand the extreme value of instruction in the life of the child of God. You see, the term instruction in our text makes reference to a wide variety of teaching. The teaching that we receive in our lives from others. After all, that's what instruction is. It's a certain knowledge, a certain information that is passed along from one to another. Someone instructs us or passes their knowledge along to you and to me. Sometimes that instruction is passed along without being meant to be. For example, a parent imparts that kind of knowledge to his children simply by means of his or her example. Whether it's a good example or a bad example, our children oftentimes are instructed by our example. Sometimes that instruction is passed along as well in a systematic, formal manner from a teacher to a student. Whether that be a teacher in the home as a parent, whether that be a teacher in the school, whether that be a minister from the pulpit or in the catechism room or an elder that instructs us in God's word. Sometimes that instruction is passed along in that way, and sometimes that instruction is passed along via discipline. How a parent or others in authority react to something, to what a child does, whether that reaction is right or whether that what that child does is right or wrong. All of that is implied here in this term instruction that we have before us tonight. But there's another distinction in this whole idea of instruction that we must notice as well, an all-important distinction that we must notice. Instruction can either be the truth or it can be the lie. Very simply put, instruction can be good or right instruction, or instruction can be bad instruction. And this is what we ought to bear in mind tonight in connection with our text, too. A person can present to us, let's say, certain theories concerning God, concerning man, or Jesus Christ, or this creation in which we live, theories that are twisted and distorted and therefore are wrong. And we can listen to that instruction, but we receive bad instruction by that. They are the lie. For example, a person, be that a parent or a teacher or a minister, can teach me all about God. But then he can say to me, or she can say to me, that God is not the God of the Christian only, after all, but that we also recognize Allah and Buddha or the great spirit of the Native Americans as being that same God that we worship as well. Then that instruction that I received about God is not true, is not right, is not good instruction, but it's the lie. It's false. And it's false because of its comparison to the objective standard of truth that is given to you and to me in the Holy Scriptures concerning God. A person may teach me about Jesus Christ, but what he teaches me about Christ is not what the Bible itself teaches about Jesus Christ. Then I may have learned all about Christ, but I haven't learned about the Christ of the Scriptures, which means that that instruction that I have received is bad or false instruction. It is the lie. A person can teach me about the creation, the universe in which I live, but he may do that on the basis of the godless theory of evolution that is promoted in the wicked world today. And when he does so, he has given me the wrong instruction about the creation of this world. When I was in college, and thankfully when we reach college, we have somewhat reached the years of discretion where we are able to decipher between what is right and wrong instruction. When I was in college, I was taught in a physical science course all about creation, all about the flood. But the instruction that I received was that not of the creation of the world in 6 days, but that of the theory of evolution as it's set forth in our world today. And when the instructor came to the flood, told us that it was just a local flood that was written about, just a flood in the Mesopotamia area of the world. So he knew the truth of God's word, but he purposely instructed his students in bad teaching, in bad doctrine, false instruction he gave to us. It's instruction. We learn something from it, but what we learn isn't right. What we learn is wrong. And that same applies concerning instruction in how we should walk in the midst of this world. There are those who will instruct us and our children, well, that there's really no objective right and wrong anymore. It might be wrong for me, but it might not be wrong for somebody else. They don't judge things according to that one standard of truth, which is the Bible. But they'll say, listen, that person lives that way, and they may live that way because it's right for them. And we can go out and live the way that we wish to, and still at the same time profess ourselves to be Christians. The antithesis, saying no to sin, no to that which is wrong, making judgment, proper judgment concerning these things in our lives, that's all thrown to the wayside. When that happens, then the instruction, then the teaching that we receive, you see, is wrong. And the Bible admonishes us over and over and over again to live in godliness, consecrating our lives and dedicating our lives in the service of our God. So, you see, there is a right instruction, there's a wrong instruction. And obviously, the instruction which our text speaks of, that we must hold fast and keep, is right instruction. We know that because of what Solomon teaches us already in verse 11 of this chapter. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. This is the very purpose that Solomon writes these proverbs to his children, his son. In fact, we see that at the very beginning of the chapter that we read tonight. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, right, healthy teaching. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. And that too is why instruction in our text is called she. Keep her. The word instruction actually in the Hebrew here is in the male form, gender. Instruction is not feminine, it's masculine here. And yet Solomon speaks of instruction in this way. Take hold of instruction, instruction being in the masculine. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. So he speaks of that term in the feminine. First thing we would say is, well, Solomon can't be referring to the term instruction, because the term instruction is in the masculine. How can he refer to instruction as her? And yet, the Word of God does that here in this place. And it does so because instruction of our text is instruction in wisdom. That's the particular instruction that Solomon here is speaking about. That's why we went into this long spiel, what have you, on right and wrong instruction. The instruction that Solomon speaks of here is wisdom, and we know that because throughout this chapter that we read, and you probably didn't notice that, but if you read through it again, wisdom is referred to over and over and over again, and wisdom is a she. It's in the feminine. So the instruction that we have here in this passage is the instruction of wisdom. In fact, if we were to read Proverbs 8, we would discover that wisdom is, in all reality, Jesus Christ, who is the power and the wisdom of God unto salvation. So Solomon here is making reference to a deep spiritual knowledge and understanding that the child of God has of Christ and of his salvation. That's the instruction that we are called upon to take firm hold of, grasp, and hold and keep her. The instruction of wisdom that leads us to Christ. But let's understand that, beloved saints. Let's understand that just a little more clearly. God, our sovereign, almighty God, is in himself infinitely good and wise. And in his wisdom, God chose a particular way from all eternity to bring glory to his name. And the way that God chose in his wisdom is by saving a certain people unto himself. And for that reason, from eternity, God planned in his eternal counsel and his good pleasure for all things that he would share with a certain people chosen unto heavenly glory, that he would share with them his friendship and fellowship. He would make them heirs with Christ unto eternal life in heaven. In time, in his infinite wisdom, once again, God carries out this particular plan to the dotting of a T, or a dotting of an I, and the crossing of a T. But that wisdom of God in sharing with his people his fellowship and his friendship is rooted only in one thing: the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ is the only way of fellowship with God, the only way unto eternal glory. And in his wisdom, God chose to bring many sons to glory by way of the captain of their salvation, who is Jesus Christ. It's simple to see then that Christ is the manifestation of God's wisdom. And that's why Proverbs 8, if you read through that chapter, it's a cleverly worded chapter in Proverbs, speaks of Christ as, or of wisdom as Christ. Christ. Christ and him crucified is the power of God in our salvation, and the wisdom of God, the instruction concerning Jesus Christ and the salvation that we have in him is therefore the heart of the instruction of which Solomon is speaking here in this passage. The instruction concerning God, concerning who we are, concerning sin, concerning salvation in Christ, all of these things, you see, belong to instruction, sound, good, right instruction. And it is this instruction and these things that the Bible itself gives us. We want instruction, good, right instruction in what we are to believe, and how we are to walk in this world in the way that is pleasing unto God. It's right here, the Word of God. This is instruction, because this centers in Jesus Christ. Instruction, Solomon tells us, is thy life. Now, it's easy to understand this in strictly a natural and a carnal way. In fact, most people who read this passage of Proverbs in our day do that. And then the conclusion they reach is this: get as good of an education as you can. Learn everything that you can, because if you do, that will determine your outcome of life in this world. It will determine whether you are a success or not. Instruction in all of the various spheres of knowledge will improve your life in this world 100-fold, and you will be able to get a hold or get ahead in life. So yes, instruction should be your life. Get instructed and learn. And there's not something wrong with that reasoning, even from an earthly, secular point of view. We aren't called to be dummies. We are called to be instructed, formally instructed in all of the various sciences, math, the English language that is given to us. We're called to do that. We're called to read and to be instructed by means of reading. That's important for the child of God. So from an earthly point of view, they're not wrong when they say, listen, you want to get ahead in life? Then don't be a dummy. Learn things. Apply yourselves to learning and you'll be successful in this present world. But that's not what the Word of God tonight here teaches us. Instruction in the gospel. Instruction in Christ crucified. Instruction in the truths of Scripture, we are told, is our life. But this instruction is not meant to improve necessarily our lives in this natural, carnal world, this earthly realm in which we dwell. It's meant to improve our spiritual lives in this world. And it will lead us in the way of wisdom, and that in turn will lead us in right paths, as Solomon calls them. It will give us the knowledge, the spiritual skill to serve God with all the knowledge that he now has imparted to you and to me. And in that way, it will lead us in the path that leads to eternal life. And that's what's all important. That is the life now of which Solomon speaks in the Word of God before us tonight. Instruction in Christ is your life. It regenerates, it justifies, it sanctifies, it leads us on unto eternal glory. It causes to flow through our spiritual veins, even now, a life, spiritual life that will exist unto all eternity. That's the instruction, Solomon says, that you must receive. Why? That's a simple answer. Because Christ is life. Christ is life. Without Christ, there's death. Without Christ, there's eternal death. Without Christ, we are lost in our sin. And the only outcome that awaits us is an eternity in perdition. Without Christ, we can have all the knowledge that this world can give us, but we still walk in darkness, and we can be the most successful businessman. We can be the best mechanic. We can be world-renowned for all our skills in physics and medicine. We can even be heralded as the greatest evangelist in this world. But if Christ is not the essence of our lives, without the saving work of Jesus Christ in our hearts, it all means nothing at all. And we'll carry that all with us into perdition. We have no life then. We have no real life. Neither will we be able to use all our earthly knowledge to the glory of God. Instruction in the Scriptures, in the truth, in the ways of God. That's life to you and to me. That's why Solomon now, in a very simple way, exhorts us with these words in the verse that we have, or the proverb that we have before us. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her. Certainly, if instruction in salvation is our life here in this world and in the world to come, we will want to hold on to her, and we will want to hold fast to her. Let's take a close look at that exhortation and see the picture now that Solomon is drawing here in this example. In the first place, we are told to hold instruction fast, and the idea is that we take a firm grasp on instruction. In other words, Solomon isn't just saying, look, hold instruction in your hand. Hey, that could be slapped away, huh? He's saying, take it and grip it. Hold it fast so that nobody is able to take it away from you. Hold it fast. In fact, the idea is take it and grasp it to your bosom so that nobody is able to take that sound instruction in God's word away from you. Don't just simply hold it, but grasp it. Secondly, we are told that we must not let her go. In other words, we must never allow our hand to relax from that grip, not even for a moment. Because if we do, then that precious instruction will be snatched away from us. Never must we set that knowledge aside for a moment in order to pursue other things in life and then try to come back and pick it up again because it'll be gone. In the third place, we are told to keep her. That is to say, we must guard the instruction that we receive from God's word. And we must keep a watchful eye on it in order that it might not be stolen away, taken from us. As we said, you don't just put it here on the dresser top and then walk away from it because it'll be stolen. You keep your eye on that instruction because it's precious. It's precious, and you don't want the world to take it away from you. Yet all of this, nice graphic language, it's all put in such simple terms, huh? But how does that translate now? I mean, it's obvious you can't take instruction and hold it in your hand and not let it go. That's just a picture, isn't it? How does that translate into what Solomon is trying to teach you and me? Number of things. In the first place, we are called upon to seek out instruction. It does not matter who we are or what age we are, we must seek out that good, sound instruction in the truth. It doesn't matter whether we've made confession of faith or not. Children, too, are called to seek out instruction. Seek it out. I want to learn. That's the idea of Solomon here. Sometimes we can even think as adults that once we have made confession of faith, well, hey, now I know all the doctrines of the Bible and I have attained. Now I'm a pro in the knowledge of Scripture. Learning the Scripture, however, does not stop there at that moment in our lives. There is never a time when we do not seek to be instructed. It doesn't stop. We're instructed every day of our lives till the day that we die. Where do we find that instruction? We find it in the home, first of all. Listen to what fathers and mothers say in the first four verses of this chapter. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. That's what parents say to their children. Not only fathers. I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Instruction that we receive from fathers and mothers are important, or is important, for you and me in our lives. What foolish children we are if we do not listen to and obey the godly example, teaching, admonition, and discipline of believing parents. And when they attempt to lead us, especially in the way of God's word, and to teach us in that word of God, how foolish we are, not wise, when we don't walk in those ways. Other ways to receive instruction? Plenty of them. There's ways that we find in the Church of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here twice every Sunday, isn't it? So that we might receive instruction in the Word of God. We need that instruction. Catechism class, as we said, that's going to be starting up in a little over a month from now. In the catechism class, God imparts to the youth and to the children of the church instruction in the Word of God, in holiness and in godliness. Bible society. Here's an opportunity to study the Scriptures, or a chance to drink in freely the instruction that our text speaks of, the instruction that is our life. So take fast hold of that opportunity, God tells us. Reading good, sound, spiritual literature. How many of us in our homes have the Standard Bearer sitting on the table? Or the Beacon Lights? And then pick up and read them as well. How many of us pick up good religious, spiritual books and are willing to sit down and read those spiritually sound books, not only on life, but on doctrine? That's instruction. Discipline? Oh, yes, it takes a whole lot of discipline in our lives. Not always is there the desire to be instructed in the ways of God. Oftentimes, the business of life leaves us far too tired to pursue those spiritual matters. It takes a life of rigid discipline, no doubt about it. But if instruction is our life, then we ought to be willing also to do that, to discipline ourselves in receiving instruction. At this point, we are reminded of one other way to seek out instruction and wisdom, because it's coming up again, isn't it? Christian instruction in the secular studies of this world. It's necessary, as we said earlier, to know the things of this world. We'd be very, very foolish if we were not instructed in the sciences of this world, or in the history of this world, or in the geography of this world, or of the mathematics of this world. We need those things. They're necessary in our lives, but we need to have them taught to us from a Christian perspective. As we said, there can be good instruction and bad instruction, and these things can be taught to you and to me in a good way, but they can be taught to us in a bad way too. Parents are under the God-given obligation to see to it that our children receive proper instruction in the truth. Proper. And if we do not think that the school to which we send our children makes a difference in that regard, we're being very short-sighted. When we simply give our children over into the instruction of unbelievers, and that in the public sphere of education, then we give them over to the lie. And if we think that nothing is wrong in doing so, then we're sadly mistaken, because it's a matter of wisdom, you understand. If I'm going to teach them the fear of the Lord in my home, if they're going to receive instruction in the fear of the Lord in the church, then a big area of their lives is instruction in schooling. And I don't want to turn my children over unto the unbelieving world. It's like throwing our little lambs to the wolves when we do that kind of a thing. Our children are instructed. They're taught in the instruction of our text and how it applies to the various studies of life when they attend unto Christian education, Reformed education, education that can be received in Christian schools, Reformed schools, even though today, too, we have to be very, very careful of that instruction that's given in them, but also that can be given by means of home schooling. We realize that here in this place. For that education, for that instruction, we ought to be willing to give up houses and cars and vacations. That's how important that instruction also is, because instruction gives life. Good and right instruction gives life. There are two things that you and I ought to bear in mind with regards to that instruction. First of all, it can easily, if we're not watching, slip from our fingers. We can lay it aside and fail to carry that knowledge with us. We can hear it in the church. We can hear it in the catechism room. We can hear it in society. And then we can turn our backs on it and leave it there and let it go. Then we go out to the unbelieving world and we receive all kinds of instruction from unbelievers. And instead of that instruction that we left over here, letting it slide, we pick up this instruction and we follow after that instruction. So we are exhorted by the word of God here not to let her go. And in order not to let the instruction go, because it's wisdom to you and me. Do we want to walk in the ways of wisdom in this world? Spiritually wise citizens of the kingdom of God, then we must be constantly honing and sharpening ourselves in the knowledge of God and of His Word. It's far too easy to forget otherwise. Far too easy. Then by carrying that instruction with us, wherever we go, we use it. We use it in our homes. It's ours. We carry it with us. We use it in the workplace when we go out and we labor in this world. We use it in our recreation and what we seek out for entertainment in this world. Then you see, instruction becomes a tool for godliness in the life of the child of God. That's how important it is. But one other thing we must do with instruction, and that is we must keep her or guard her. We brought this up a little bit earlier and explained it very briefly, but what that means is that we do not allow others to take it away by carefully guarding that instruction with our lives and not letting our guard down. And we bring that up again because our enemies are there. Our enemies are there, and they're waiting for you and me to let our guard down just for a moment so that they can grab hold of us and to lead us in a way of temptation and sin. That's real for us. That's concrete for us in our lives. This isn't just abstract instruction that Solomon is giving to you and me here. How many times has it not happened that some have followed after the instruction of this world and walked deeper and deeper into sin simply because they have not kept good, sound instruction by their side? How many times do we find marriages falling on hard times because that instruction hasn't been guarded carefully by us? How many families are in disorder, walking in unfaithfulness to God and the church simply because they did not keep instruction? They did not keep Christ by their sides. And it is exactly because this is our tendency too, that we have to be on our guard at all times. Never underestimate the power of that old man of sin in us. Take firm hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her. There's the exhortation of our text. And the reward we receive is found in that word life that we have before us here. By walking in the instruction of wisdom that is in Christ Jesus, we will indeed live. Read for a moment the words of the verse preceding our text. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. When we take fast hold of instruction, then God promises you and me that as we walk through this life, our steps will not be straitened. That is to say, God will not make life so impossible that we are not able to handle it and that we cannot walk a godly life. There may be difficulties. There are difficulties, but not of such a sort that we cannot walk in the way of God's commandments. Our ways are not straitened, Solomon says. God's blessing and joy and peace will rest upon us when we follow instruction. In fact, we'll be able to take that instruction and run as fast as you want to, and never stumble. It is only when we let go that we'll stumble and we'll have endless heartache in our lives. With it, we walk a straight path that leads you and me to heaven. And there is the final reward, because you see, in heaven, there's life, and life eternal. In heaven, We will have life more abundantly. That life is in us now, but we'll have it more abundantly in heaven. What greater incentive, therefore, what greater incentive is there to the child of God, to you and to me, than to have that as our eternal reward, life everlasting? It's worth every sacrifice of the things that we have here below. It is worth giving up all the riches of this world, all for instruction, proper instruction, sweet, sweet instruction in the wisdom of God, a wisdom that is Jesus Christ. Amen. O Lord our God and our heavenly Father, make us wise. Give unto us the proper instruction in thy word. Give it to us from thy word. Give it to us by the mouths of others, that we might receive that instruction and be wise in this world and walk in a way that is pleasing unto thee. We know that in this present world there are those who would seek us out to give us instruction, not in wisdom now and in thy word, but to make us worldly wise. We pray that we might be able to see through that, so that we might be given proper wisdom, proper knowledge of thy word, that that word might guide us in every situation in life. May we be educated in the fear of thy name, in the home, in the school, in the church, so that by means of these spheres of instruction in our lives, we might be those who seek thee and who love our salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.